With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to an epic edition of Future Brew right here on MaizeAndBrew.com. My name is Vaughn Lozon. John Simmons is just doing his thing, moving across the country. So today, it's just me and Steven Osentoski, our do-it-all Jabril Peppers here at Maize and Brew. Steven, how are you doing, my friend? How is the week treating you thus far?
Doing okay. I just ran a 4.340. I weigh 225 pounds. I play for the Giants and the Browns now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It is the Giants. He got drafted by Cleveland and then got traded over to the Giants in that Odell Beckham trade.
So this is bad, man. I should know these things, but this shows you how locked in on Michigan sports I am. I literally would love to follow all these guys and their trades moving on. I don't have the time. I think I would no longer have a partner if I spend as much time in the NFL that I did in the college sports realm. So, but no, I'm doing well. I am not Jabril Peppers, unfortunately, but but things are going well.
Things are going well, and we'll hope to have John Simmons back on the pod next week. We hope things are going well with him and his venture across America for his landing spot. Five-star prospect there in John Simmons. Rumor has it all the crystal balls are in on Kansas, so we'll see how that goes for him. But speaking of crystal balls and big prospects and things like that, we're just going to start right off with the big in-state prospect in the 22 class for Michigan who committed to the Wolverines over the weekend. And that's Will Johnson, a five-star cornerback from Grosse Pointe. Obviously has many ties to U of M, so that's why he picked the Wolverines over his other top schools there, USC and Ohio State. So he is officially staying home to be a Wolverine. Number one player in the state, number five corner overall, which is a big position of need for Michigan in this 22 class, I should say. A number 11 overall player on that composite. He is a long, lanky corner at 6'3", buck 90. And honestly, Steven, this is the type of prospect that U of M needs in this class. Only got one corner in that 21 class. Only had one safety in that 21 class. So they're going to hit the defensive backs really hard here. And got Will Johnson on board, obviously big time news there. So let's start off first, Steven. I'll ask you just Will Johnson as a prospect in general. Give me your scouting report on him, and how soon do you think he sees the playing field, given who's ahead of him in the pecking order at the cornerback position currently in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, I think if it's any program in the country, he's going to compete as a true freshman. It's one of those positions that rely so heavily on athleticism. He's a guy who's been around in the competitive scene, going to a bunch of different camps. He's obviously the son of a lauded collegiate and NFL player, Deion Johnson. So he's been around the space of competing and just being in that sort of world as a competitor for a long time. So in terms of like his technique, his ability, once he gets to college, not only does he have the athleticism, but he has the pedigree. He has everything that you're really looking for an immediate contributor at the position. So unless you're like an Alabama or maybe like an OSU, would he not be competing right away? Even if you were at one of those schools, I think he has plenty of all the attributes I said to at least compete for a starting role, if not win it. So I think it's going to be immediately. In terms of his skill set, I mean, all the times that I was watching, like each play that I was watching from his film, I had to remind myself that he's like a 6'2", possibly a 6'3" guy, because he's still apparently growing. And I had to remind myself of that because he plays like he's closer to 5'11", 6 foot. Just he's very smooth in his hip fluidity. He's able to change directions extremely well. He has a longer stride. It doesn't really look like he's moving all that fast, but then you remember he has these, you know, really long legs, a long frame, and he's able to cover ground a lot more easily than it would seem. So I think that's like the main question where I've seen like hand timed in the upper 4.4s, probably like electronic around the 4.5 range, which is plenty good enough for that size.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, again, him being in the space at all these different camps, the technique is there, and it's hard to see too many flaws with his game. I think his tackling technique could improve, but the main thing is he's willing to get his nose in there. He laid some big hits on his junior film, and that's what you're really interested in. You can teach, you know, someone to wrap up. You can't teach someone to want the contact, and he seemingly does have that want. So in terms of his skill set, man, it's hard to be a corner with his size, athleticism, and apparent technique. He's a guy who's gonna make an impact immediately.
Yeah, he does have really good technique, and I think he's going to make an immediate impact as well. This kid's just an athlete, quite frankly. He plays wide receiver on the offensive side of the ball. He plays basketball for his high school as well. And then with all the accolades that he has at corner, with the technique that he has, yeah, he does need to work on wrapping up and tackling, but he is a sure tackler. He does want to get in there and be able to stop guys when he has to. It can't be all covering. It can't be all downfield, but he's very good downfield. I think the way that he flips his hips is really good at this stage of the game. And the speed is really, it's good, but it isn't verified necessarily. 24/7, when they released their rankings last week, their updated 22 rankings, they dropped Will Johnson to 33 overall in the country. And the big reason because of that is because of the lack of verification in his 40 times. So I would imagine the 40 time is probably roughly around where you said, like 4.5, maybe a little shorter than that. But I think once they get a verified time there, I think they'll bump him back up like he should be. Obviously still a composite five-star, obviously still a very good player. He's the number 5 cornerback in the country and the number 11 overall guy on the composite. So that really goes to show what this cornerback class really has in store. So a lot of really good corners in this class, Will Johnson obviously being among the best. And when Alan Trieu from 24/7 compares you to Stephon Gilmore, that's a pretty high comparison. As far as cornerbacks go, that doesn't really get much better than that in the NFL currently. He's among the best in the NFL. So Michigan's obviously getting a good one there. I would expect him to get immediate playing time and to compete for starting position as soon as his freshman year. You haven't really seen a whole lot of that from Michigan corners in the more recent history. Even guys like David Long didn't really break out onto the scene until the sophomore season. So I think Will Johnson could be one of those rare guys that gets onto the field incredibly fast and it immediately provides, at the very least, some depth there at a position that really needs it. So, Steven, we kind of talked last week about how this could be the start of momentum for Michigan on the recruiting trail. Top kids obviously want to play with other top kids in the country. Will Johnson obviously being among the nation's best, regardless of position. But now that he's committed to Michigan, I really think this could have a drastic effect on how Michigan ends up doing the rest of this class with Walter Nolan, the number two overall player who we've talked about, the top defensive tackle in this class. He knows Will Johnson, and Will Johnson was kind of already recruiting him before he was even committed to Michigan. So I think that could go a long way in that recruitment. Obviously, he and Domani Jackson, the other five-star corner who committed to USC, but Michigan's still going to be in on there. Those guys are very tight, said to have been a package deal at one point. Obviously, as of right now, that's not happening. But I would imagine that Will Johnson gets in Domani's ear as well. And then to top it all off, this is going to have a big impact on the in-state class as well, with Dylan Tatum, Josh Burnham, Tayshaun Trent, who we'll talk about in a little bit. I feel like all could really see this Will Johnson commitment and they just go, damn, like, you know, the best players in Michigan go to Michigan. I may want to hop on board that train as well. So I really think this recruitment, albeit it's not like the first big target that they've landed, they got a couple four stars in the class as well, but this could really lead to a trickle down effect of big time players getting on board Michigan's 22 class. What do you think?
Yeah, and I think it's actually a really good move to have Bellamy now over to the defensive side to kind of go with that as well, right? You get a guy like Will Johnson, legacy in-state guy, able to sing the praises of the in-state school. You have one of the most beloved high school coaches now, former high school coach in Bellamy as your cornerbacks, defensive backs coach. So adding him should help solidify Dylan Tatum as well as getting a Will Johnson, like you said. So, I mean, that's huge. And a big reason that Will Johnson committed to Michigan is because the Michigan staff was like, hey, we got some exciting moves coming to our defensive staff. Hold on, let us, you know, speak kind of our pitch with our new staff incoming here. And you're going to be a big part of that picture. So I think it's very similar to what we saw in the 2021 class with JJ McCarthy, where it's like, hey, we want you to really lead this group. You know, we expect you to be a leader of this offense, and we want you to play with the best talent around you at Michigan. And you're part of kind of realizing that vision that we have. And we saw a very offensively focused class with 2021. And that makes sense given a lot of the turnover with the coaching staff. So now you're looking at 2022, and you know, there were some holes filled with the 21 class at defensive tackle, but I mean, Will Johnson's the biggest position of need at cornerback. There's still a lot of positions I think that they'll be focusing on in 2022 specifically for defense, and have it be more of a defensively focused class because you have a new staff, because you have a guy now like Will Johnson to kind of lead the way. And it's the perfect way to do that. Right. And I think it's right now, especially that the allowed dates for the coaches to be visiting or having recruits go on official visits, that keeps getting pushed. So,
yeah,
you know, every coach these days, I feel like is probably struggling on how to really sell your school in a way that's unique compared to every other school, right? Whether it's Mel Tucker or Jim Harbaugh, you're on a Zoom meeting with these kids. Mm-hmm. So having a guy like Will Johnson, who's from the state, knows everything about Michigan, you know, heck, his dad knows everything about Michigan as well. Having someone with that experience, that upbringing, helps bring an authenticity that is hard to get over a Zoom meeting. And it helps you differentiate when you kind of take that approach. For a player that's going to be in your class will speaking about these things speaks louder to me if I'm a recruit than a coach, because every coach is saying the same thing. I feel like they would all blend together. So I think that's kind of something that Michigan recognized for the 21 class and is now continuing with the 22 class, and pitched Will Johnson to be kind of at the forefront of that.
Yeah.
And like you said, the, you know, getting the best players in Michigan to go to Michigan, that's a starting point. And then, you know, Will Johnson's a national level recruit that should help perk the ears of guys throughout the country. So having that why that Will Johnson can speak to at a national level, you know, he had offers to Bama, LSU, OSU, everywhere. So to have him be able to preach that to other recruits, again, that's a pitch that will speak louder than, you know, maybe some recruits would want to, like, would be able to hear from a coach. It just has a different ring to it. So yeah, it's an interesting strategy, and I think it's going to pay off for him.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it you bring up a very good point about the recruiting dead period getting pushed back again and again. And obviously it's something that every school has to deal with, but I think Michigan has dealt with this very well. They've been able to get all of their coaches in on these Zoom meetings, give all of these kids that they're really interested in these virtual tours of the school, and be able to sell that to these guys. Obviously, Will Johnson didn't really need all of that because he's been around Michigan his entire life with his dad being an alum and just growing up not too far away from Ann Arbor. But obviously just being in that culture for your entire life, it's pretty much Michigan would be the favorite in Vegas to land him before the recruitment even started. So, yeah, I think it's going to lead to a lot of momentum here in with this in-state crop. Josh Burnham, near top 100 guy. Miles Rouser, top 100 guy. Dylan Tatum is a guy that they really enjoy as a four-star in the defensive backfield. So you could add another defensive back in state there as well. And a lot of really talented players in the state of Michigan in this 22 class. So we'll wrap up this here with this question here for you, Stephen. So they've already got more defensive backs committed in 22 than they had in 21 combined. They've got, obviously, with Will Johnson, Taylor Groves at safety, and Cody Jones listed as an athlete, but he's probably going to play cornerback as well. So their three top players in the class for them as of now are in the defensive backfield, which is exactly what they need in this class. So how many defensive backs, you could include safeties in here as well, do you think that they end up taking in this 22 class? I know it's still kind of early and there's a long way to go. They're recruiting a lot of guys at corner, and they've got a few other safeties on their board as well. But how many guys realistically do you think that they end up taking here in defensive backfield in 22?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd have to go back through the depth chart and take a look at that. I would expect probably at least one more true cornerback. I would expect, because Cody Jones has a little bit of variability there as an athlete. So yeah. I think that's kind of the approach where you have two true corners. Cody Jones could land there as well, but he has some variability there. I think at safety, you're always going to need just a plethora of safeties. I think Michigan did have a really good freshman class for 2020. So I don't think they're as strapped at that position. So I would still think you probably add another true safety and then maybe another form of athlete. So I think adding one more corner, one more safety, and then one more athlete, maybe two athletes, if you can get that have a little more variability. But I think that would make sense most, to have kind of two true corners, two true safeties, and then anywhere from two to three athletes that could slot in at one of those positions, but could very easily move over to the offensive side if need be.
Yeah, I kind of think you're onto something. I think they end up taking probably two, three guys, probably is what I would imagine. Obviously, they're going to swing for the fences with Domani Jackson, who we've already talked about. I'm not sure where Keon Sabb, the five-star safety who plays at IMG now, but is from New Jersey. I don't know where he sits now with this new staff. Jacoby Matthews is a guy that they're going to go after hard. He's a five-star safety from Louisiana. That's obviously a tough pull, being in SEC country, but they're still going to go for it. So tons of guys. And then obviously Jaden Gold being a cornerback, near top 100 guy there as well from New Jersey, who they're very in on. I would expect Michigan to be in the running for him throughout that entire recruitment there as well. So tons of guys. I mean, they are in on a ton of guys at corner and safety in this class, which is good. They definitely need to land a few more of these guys. And obviously I think they will with the way that they've been recruiting and with the amount of guys that they've been recruiting, I would anticipate two, maybe three more guys at the end of the day. But I think if you're a Michigan fan, you've got to be pretty pumped about where the class sits currently. Number 11 overall, your three top players being corners and safeties. It's looking pretty good so far for the defensive class here in 22. So definitely we'll keep everybody posted on those recruitments and all recruitments in the 22 class as they develop here. So we're going to take a break. We will come back and we're going to flip over to the offensive side of the ball and talk about a guy with an impending commitment. And very soon here, it could be another in-state player going to Ann Arbor. We'll talk about that after this break. But we want to talk first about our sponsor here on Maize and Brew Podcast, and that is Homefield. Homefield is a premium collegiate apparel brand based out of the Midwest here in Indianapolis. And not only is their stuff comfortable, but it's officially licensed gear. So they really do not screw around when it comes to those designs that they make. And the team over at Homefield, they study every school's history, tradition, legacy, and they create thoughtful designs to tell the unique story of each university. And they've got some really cool Michigan designs that you will not find anywhere else, from t-shirts to crew necks. They've got it all, so you can stay cozy. So if that's exactly what you're looking for and you want some vintage apparel, look no further than Homefield. We've got a promo code for you to use if you are interested. That is MNB, as in Maize and Brew, to get 20% off your entire first order. Again, that's not just 20% off one item. That's the entire order. So if you want to just go splurge at homefieldapparel.com, use that promo code MNB at checkout, and you will get 20% off the entire first order. Again, homefieldapparel.com. Go there. Start shopping today.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, we are back. We are going to flip over to the offensive side of the ball, as I said before the break. And we're going to wrap up the pod today talking about another in-state guy who is on the cusp of a commitment. And that is Tayshawn Trent, the four-star wide receiver. He's going to be making his commitment. We'll be choosing from the likes of Michigan, Michigan State, Kentucky. And he's got offers from a handful of other schools as well. He's the number 7 ranked player in the state of Michigan in the 22 class, number 40 overall wide receiver, and the number 281 overall player on the composite. He grew up and resides in East Point, so not too far away from Ann Arbor, much like Will Johnson, another in-state guy that they just landed. So, Steven, where do you see the pulse of this recruitment at the moment? There were crystal balls for Michigan State for a while. Those all flipped over to Michigan, and Michigan is now in control of the crystal ball. So obviously the Spartans are still a threat in this recruitment, just given that they were very high on him and he was very interested in going to East Lansing at one point. But it just seems like with all the crystal balls going to Michigan, it seems like Michigan's the team to beat at this moment.
Yeah, it's my favorite kind of commitment, where if you look at any Michigan State fans, they have an early in with him, right? And, you know, give credit to the staff for recognizing the talent that Tayshawn Trent has. And I believe he was probably one of one of their, or the Michigan State offer was one of the bigger ones at the time for Trent. So getting a flurry crystal balls early for him there. And then, you know, Michigan takes a look and comes knocking. And then it's, you know, you get the sense that it's one where he was seen if the big brothers in state would offer. And it seems like that's the case.
You're best about thing to rile up a lot of people on social media, Steven.
I am. But my favorite thing to do is go back, look at those early message boards about like, oh, it's, you know, we're leading crystal balls for this guy, seeing like, oh, he looks like a great player. And then when they flip over to Michigan, see the reaction there. That's just, you can't write better content than that, man. It's the best.
He wasn't high on our board anyway.
There it is. There it is. And to be fair, every fan base is the same.
Oh yeah. Shudder, no, that's not exclusive to Spartans. That's everybody. Yeah.
I shudder at the thought of some of like the Rayshon Benny message boards and that crazy recruitment. So I'm sure that was the same, but the best thing for me is four of the six crystal balls to Michigan are from Michigan State insiders. So that's a really good sign. If they're predicting that, then it's looking like that's the clear direction here. So, I mean, I think this is one, again, I don't know exactly where he stands on wanting to stay in state or leaving the state. I know there was an article on 24/7 about his close relationship with Will Johnson, given their 7-on-7 teammates. The impact there of getting a guy like Will Johnson, again, like you said, having the most talented guys on the same team, that seemed to resonate with Tayshaun Trent. So that can't hurt. So it's looking good thus far for Michigan hanging on there and, you know, eventually getting his commitment.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Will Johnson, and it seems like this is just the Will Johnson hour here on Maize and Brew Podcast, but it really is having an effect, I think, on Trent's eventual commitment here. I think the writing's on the wall here. I think Michigan is going to end up getting this commitment from Trent, and I do think Will Johnson played a pretty big role here, but it really seems like Ron Bellamy joining the staff had a huge role in Michigan's surge in the recruitment as well, with obviously Bellamy, one of the in-state recruiters for Michigan now, has been putting in some real serious work on a number of guys. And Trent is obviously one of those guys that stands out to me. I reached out to Tayshaun Trent not too long ago. And when Bellamy first got hired as a receivers coach, asked if he had reached out to him. And he said that, yeah, he already reached out to him and expressed his interest in him becoming a Michigan Wolverine. Now, obviously now that he's flipped over to the safeties, it really doesn't matter what position Trent's going to be playing. The fact of the matter is he's still an in-state guy. Ron Bellamy has insane ties into the high school football game here in state, obviously, coming off a high school championship with Wes Bloomfield, one of the more renowned coaches around the Metro Detroit area. So I think Johnson had a big part of it too, but you got to give a lot of props to Ron Bellamy as well for not only just hitting the ground running with recruiting in general, but getting guys like Will Johnson, who I think is going to end up committing with Tayshaun Trent here now, to get them on board, to get them committed verbally and early on in this class as well. I think you got to give Ron Bellamy a huge a round of applause for this recruitment too.
Yeah, I mean, and even though Bellamy isn't going to be a guy on the offensive side, I think it's more of just having those relationships, having a guy of his caliber. He's just a known commodity throughout the state. And having him on staff, regardless of offense or defense, that just plays a huge, huge thing in the overall atmosphere of the coaching staff. You know, if they'll hire a guy like Ron Bellamy, you're going to expect, you know, kind of a similar, you know, maybe different personalities throughout. But it shows that it's an environment that supports those kind of guys. And from everything I've seen, he resonates with just a ton of recruits. So, I mean, there, and as far as like Tayshaun Trent's kind of skill set that he brings, he's huge, man. Like he's a giant, like 6'4", What is he up? It's like 205.
205 is what they have him listed as. I wouldn't be shocked if he's a bit bigger than that. Just, I mean, if you've seen the film, he just looks like a mammoth human being compared to everybody else.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what they actually have him as, because I could totally see them trying to go like the Eric All route with him, where it's just like kind of a jumbo flex wide receiver that could have some tight end capabilities in him, or if he can stick with being a wide receiver. He had a lot more wiggle than I would expect of a guy his size. Now his speed, again, is something without these camps, it's really hard to say. I wouldn't expect it to be anything, probably upper 4.6s, I would say. Maybe mid 4.6s. I could be wrong there, but
I think you're giving him the benefit of the doubt, quite frankly. I think it might be a bit slower than that. But yeah. I mean, it could be. I mean, I just don't know. I assumed it'd be like in the the low 4.7s is what I was going to guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
I think it's in that area. And I think it's interesting because we've seen Michigan just go really heavy on a lot of the speed and space kind of guys, your Giles Jacksons, your just a flurry.
Shane Ristill, AJ Henning. Yeah. I mean,
they all blend together at this point. So having a guy kind of stand out, like Tayshaun Trent, who can just be a tree amongst the fast speed demons that you have, there's always a guy for that. Especially, I think there was a big question in 2020 of how, you get in the red zone, which one of these guys outside of Cornelius Johnson is going to be your true red zone threat, or a guy you can throw a jump ball to. And I think he fits that mold really well. And I like that Michigan's kind of going for one or two of these guys per class. I think you had Andrell Anthony, who kind of fit that mold a little bit, not as exaggerated as Tayshaun Trent in the height department, but I think mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of promise, and I'm really, I get not like necessarily a Eubanks vibe from him, but Eubanks was like a really athletic, like spindly tall man that was masquerading as a wide receiver who you just could see developing into one thing or the other. And I could see Tayshaun Trent kind of going in one direction or the other at this point.
Does that kind of concern you at all? Just given that they've already got a tight end committed in this class, Marlon Klein, the 3-stars, he's 6'6", 215. So, I mean, kind of not too far off from what Tayshaun Trent is. Does that kind of concern you at all that they might get a second guy like that on board? Would you rather have him stick at receiver? Or, I mean, does this make a difference to you at all when it comes to just getting the guys in the program in general? And how do you think that could affect his usage at the next level in college?
Yeah, I mean, the big difference is just about like the amount of usage, where if he can grow into like a flex tight end, then he might share more snaps with a guy like Marlon Klein overall. But if he's like more of a true wide receiver that can, go up for jump balls, maybe they'll split him out a little bit more. So I don't think it's always to me about just these guys realizing their ceiling. And then it's just kind of like a thing that you kind of saw with Josh Uche on the defensive side, where he never really had like a true role, and Michigan found ways to really get him involved on the defense because of how disruptive he was. So I think, there are complications that a tweener, you could call them, present. But with a guy like Quiddy Pay, he wreaks havoc, and it makes it a really hard job for the opposing side to really game plan for a guy that's really unique like that. You don't know how he's going to be used. So I think that's the main thing of being true to what his highest ceiling is, and I think that just comes with getting him in the weight program and really understanding what aspects of his game really do well and try to bulk him up to those skills or keep him at a reasonable weight for the other skills. So I don't think I'm overly concerned with that. I think he could provide enough value either way, as long as he, you know, kind of buys into whatever that path that Michigan wants him to go on.
Yeah, I don't find it concerning either. I was just curious what your thought process was there. I mean, my mindset is if you think he's a good player and he's worth taking, then you just take him in and you figure it out later on, even if he ends up flipping positions or whatever. Actually, I don't think he will by any means. But if you think he's talented enough to offer him a scholarship and you want to recruit him as hard as you've been, yeah, you just figure stuff out later on. And if that means lining him and Marlon Klein up in the same rotation and doing stuff like that, yeah, I mean, go ahead, go for it, do it. There's nothing wrong with having two 6'4" plus wideouts on the field at the same time to cause some problems there for opposing defenses. That would be interesting to see unfold for sure. I think this would be a pretty good get for Michigan if he ends up committing here. And he would be the first receiver listed to join the class. And the class is starting to shape up here, Stephen. I mean, they've got six commitments as of this recording, with four of them being on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, they'll fill all those needs on offense as well. They still need quarterback, still need a running back, and they're going to need probably another receiver or two. And it seems like they're wanting to get another tight end in there. With one offensive lineman currently committed, you're going to want probably three more of those as well. So, you know, if you're looking at it as, you know, where's all the offensive players? Don't worry, they'll be on the way. It's kind of like how the 21 class went with, it was pretty much all offense at the beginning and no defense. And yeah, obviously they filled the holes on defense just fine. So I would expect some good stuff to happen there. On the offensive side of the ball in this class too. So Stephen, any departing thoughts?
No, I think I'll be most interested in watching the offensive line. I really want to see what Sharon Moore does as the position coach there. I think that'll be interesting to watch. And then, it'll be interesting with just the sheer number of weapons that Michigan brought in the last class. It'll be interesting to see how they are approaching the kind of the skill positions in the 22 class. I think we'll see some interesting names at quarterback pop up, and it'll be interesting. So I think it's a good start, and I'm interested to read about kind of the different areas that each of the different coaches kind of delve into now that they're starting to get settled at the university.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be really interesting to see how all that plays out. And I would anticipate Michigan putting in another good class here in 22. They're already a fringe top 10 class with just six commitments as of today. So I would anticipate another, at the very least, near top 10 finish for Michigan in the recruiting class when it's all said and done. So definitely going to be intriguing to see how it all plays out, and we'll obviously update everybody right here on Future Brew when all of those developments happen. So Stephen, appreciate it. We'll get John Simmons back on the pod next week, hopefully. And hopefully we can get you up to speed on Michigan alum knowledge and do some Jabril Preppers reading. Why don't you?
Oh God, you don't want that.
Well, that's who I keep comparing you to. So I feel like, you gotta, okay. Here's a fun fact. Do you know the story of how Jabril Peppers committed
to Michigan? He freestyled, didn't he? Or yes. He didn't freestyle, but he had a rap. I remember
he rapped on ESPN.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched that live. I believe I was at in the middle of a work shift at Palmer Commons at University of Michigan.
Shout out.
I watched that from the office, and, yeah, I remember watching that, and I was like, oh, this guy's kind of cool. And he did turn out to be that way.
He turned out to be kind of cool. Yeah. He was a good player for sure. All right.
So, I'm not gonna rap for you. Maybe next time, Vaughn, if you ask nicely.
You know what? I'll put it in the show sheet next time. So I think John would appreciate that with him coming back next week. I think we need a nice rap from you. So
okay,
that's all I'm saying.
I'll put it on my to-do list.
Okay, excellent. I appreciate that. You can follow me on Twitter @Vaughn_Lozon. Steven, where are you at, buddy?
@Steven Toski.
Give Maize and Brew a follow on all the social media platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're on all that stuff. And follow Steven's work on the YouTube channel, putting in tons of work all the time, breaking down basketball and hockey highlights galore. So go check all that out as well. So appreciate you all for listening. Steven, thank you again for hopping on. And for Steven, I'm Vaughn. We'll talk to you next week. Go Blue.